outside of what we're discussing.
I'll call the meeting to order, and I would move to remove House File 655 from the table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So the House File 655 is before us. I would renew my motion that House File 655 be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Finance Committee. Any discussion? Representative Eric.
Mr. Chair, in regard to Section 5, I would like the BCA to come to the table and talk about how this is going to be enforced, who's going to regulate it, what quality of medicinal marijuana might this be.
Would you keep your testimony brief? We've had four hearings on this bill already.
I understand. Morning. My name is Bob. My name is Bob Bushman. I'm the statewide gang and drug coordinator and also the president of Minnesota Police and Peace Officers Association. I have provided some testimony on this bill previously.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bushman, would you talk about the aspect of enforcement of the regulation, quality of the marijuana that might be dispensed? We know the pharmaceutical industry is highly regulated. I think we need questions to that, please.
Yes. Any other medicine or medication that's put out there is controlled. The quality, the production is controlled, the dispensing is controlled, the dosage is controlled. Doctors decide, for instance, with many medications, if the patient's symptoms, their illness require a 50 milligram dose, a 100 milligram dose, how often it should be taken. They want to be careful so that people don't overdose or that they don't underdose. With marijuana, who's going to control first the production? So that if a person were to seek some out for a purpose, is it going to be 5% THC, it's going to be 35% THC. Who's going to control or who's going to decide what the dosage needs to be? I can't think of a medicine where a patient or a person who uses legitimate medicine gets to decide what the dosage is and how often they need to take it. These are questions that are decided by science. They're questions that are decided by research. They're not questions that are decided by motion or personal preference. That's one of the big issues.
Well, Mr. Bushman, when you're in the hospital and you're getting morphine, you decide how much you take.
The doctor decides what the doctor decides what the concentration is and what the maximum amount is that you're going to be able to have.
Representative Gottwald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifier, are there concerns that this bill, written the way it is, we hear a lot of testimony from those who support this, that it's only for people who are dying, it's only going to be used by, we're still talking about 12 plants per patient, the amount of marijuana that would create. Is there any concern that this marijuana would be used by somebody other than who it's intended for?
Representative Gottwald, of course there is. That's one of the big problems we have even with legitimate medicines, that a lot of them get diverted for illegal purposes by people that shouldn't have them. They get overprescribed by doctors or by care providers that aren't careful about the purpose for the medicine, about who's getting it. It's possible for people to go in and take it away from people that have it if it's not stored correctly, if it's not prescribed correctly. So that's one of the big concerns. If you look at places that have legitimized or tried to decriminalize marijuana for medical purposes, that's one of the big problems law enforcement has, is that it is sold to people that shouldn't have it. It's dispensed to people that shouldn't have it, and gets there's no control on who gets it once it's given to the person that uses it.
So what you're saying is, once this is in our communities, we've legalized it for one small group of people, the chances are this is going to be out there for others.
Absolutely it will, yes, sir.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Gottwald,
if I may, I've handed out to all of you, and I think it's particularly important to have this before us. We haven't had it before. is the FDA's official statement their advisory about claims that smoked marijuana is a medicine. I'm just going to read the last paragraph. I won't read the whole thing. You can read that yourself. A growing number of states have passed voter referenda or legislative actions making smoked marijuana available for a variety of medical conditions upon a doctor's recommendation. These measures are inconsistent with efforts to ensure that medications undergo the rigorous scientific scrutiny of the FDA approval process and are proven safe and effective under the standards of the FD&C Act. Accordingly, FDA, as the federal agency responsible for reviewing the safety and efficacy of drugs, DEA, as the federal agency charged with enforcing the CSA, and the Office of National Drug Control Policy as the federal coordinator of drug control policy, do not support the use of smoked marijuana for medical purposes, period.
Well, Mr. Gottwald, American Medical Association is officially neutral on this, but they do support the physician's right to discuss marijuana therapy with patients. The American Academy of Family Physicians, the American Academy of HIV Medicine, and the American Nurses Association have all endorsed medical marijuana.
Mr. Chair, I would add, if I may, I've talked with three hospice workers unsolicited since our last meeting, and put the same question to them I put to you, Mr. Chair, and that is, how many people in the state of Minnesota have no other option for their pain control but to smoke marijuana? The answer from all three in separate discussions was nobody. Now, you testified 200 to 300, but I have not heard a single person come forward and say that's the only option I've got for pain control. And yet here we are spending how many hours on this bill when we have so many other major priorities to address in health care reform? And that's not a partisan comment, by the way, Mr. Hosh. That is a genuine concern for the safety of our children, for the safety of others. When you start growing marijuana with these nonprofit organizations, and there isn't, I don't think, sufficient language in this bill to regulate how that's done and how that's distributed and what might happen with the stuff that's grown beyond the 2.5 ounces, it's a bad bill.
Any further discussion? Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On page 7 of the bill, it talks about the data practices and the fact that the commissioner is going to have to keep a list of these things. Do you have any idea what that cost is going to be to the state?
We have a fiscal note that shows actually it's a profit to the state.
Say what?
$188,000, no, excuse me. Savings to the state in fiscal year 08 of $118,000, 09, $457,000,
$456,000
in fiscal year
10,
and a savings of
$456,000.
Mr. Chair, can I get a copy of that?
Will the
committee get a copy of that?
We got the
fiscal note. I don't have one. This is from Mr. Chair. This is from the department. It says it's going to save them. Save the state.
It says, Mr. Representative Anderson.
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could Mr. Lehman come down for a couple questions, please?
Mr. Lehman, would you state your name for the tape?
Mr. Chairman, members, Tom Lehman, Minnesotans for Compassionate Care.
Representing.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lehman, do you know who's conducting the telephone campaigns into our districts, the robocalls that are going in and connecting folks to our telephones and those kinds of things? Is that part of the folks that hired you, or who hired you?
Mr. Chairman, members of the Aberdeen Minnesotans for Compassionate Care.
Do you have anything to do with that at all?
Mr. Lehman.
In terms of making the calls, no.
Mr. Mr. Chair and
Representative Dean.
Mr. Lehman, the Marijuana Policy Project has as its part of its 2007 campaign passing medical marijuana bills in Illinois, Minnesota, and New York, and they have retained professional lobbyists in Minnesota. Do you know who that is?
What was the question?
The
Marijuana Policy Project.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Lehman, the Marijuana Policy Project has retained professional lobbyists in the capital of Minnesota, St. Paul, for the purposes of passing legalized marijuana. Do you know who those folks are or the lobbying company that they retained?
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, I've been hired as well by the Marijuana Policy Project. I represent them here.
Okay.
Solely for the purpose of allowing patients and their physicians to use marijuana if the physician has recommended it for no other purpose.
Okay. Mr. Chair and Mr. Lehman, are you aware of the work of the Marijuana Policy Project in other states?
Mr. Lehman.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, no. I've been hired to work here in Minnesota, as I said, only on the issue of allowing chronic and terminally ill patients to obtain and use marijuana if their licensed physician has recommended its use.
Mr. Chair,
Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Lehman. Mr. Chair and members, I would just point out that in the states that the vision statement for the Minnesota for the Marijuana Policy Project is to allow for responsible medical and non-medical use of marijuana, and the mission statement includes increasing public support for marijuana regulation, identifying and activating supporters for medical marijuana and non-medical marijuana, change the state laws to legalize medical marijuana and or regulate marijuana, increase the credibility of marijuana policy reform. And I would point out that on the strategic plan for the Marijuana Policy Project, it is a two-part plan for both medical and non-medical, and in states with legalized medical marijuana, they are proposing to expand that to non-medical. So I would just like to point out that the calls that we're getting for medical marijuana this year will be for non-medical next year, and it's obviously a very, very coordinated campaign to expand the use of marijuana.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's nothing in House File 655 that allows non-medical use or any other use of marijuana unless it's prescribed by a physician. And if there is any other attempt in the future, I will be opposed to it. Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair and Representative Dean, I know that it's pretty much open season here in committee. There aren't any real rules about germaneness in terms of questions or other things, but I would respectfully suggest to you that if you want to start going down this kind of questioning in these matters, that this will open it up, and it can go the other way too. And I think we have to be a little bit respectful of people who come and testify. And if we're going to start going into who all might be behind them and what other agendas they might have and what kind of phone calls they're making and what else they might be saying and what motivations they might have, we could be here for a long, long time, and we could be doing this on both sides. So I would respectfully suggest that we should stick to the issues that are before us and deal with those as Representative Huntley is suggesting.
Representative Erickson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, in both our constitutions, our public safety is one of the main purposes of government. Government is to protect us. And if we have the BCA here telling us that this is not the path we should go down, I don't understand why we are questioning their testimony or any of the information we've received from them. This is the wrong direction for us to move, regardless of how much this may this medical marijuana may comfort those who are in pain. My husband died of cancer, and it was very painful. but he would never have asked for medical marijuana because it would have set a bad example for our children, for our family. It would have said to them that it's okay to do this. And he was a teenager when his father died. And so, Mr. Chair, I think this committee needs to be very careful about how we proceed with this, especially in light of the fact that the Constitution says the protection of the people, and there is no guarantee here that we're going to protect people. I have letters here from students who've talked about getting addicted to marijuana because they have been a part of a family in which marijuana was smoked. Now, whether it was for medical purposes or not, that can happen to our children, and we are here to protect our children as well as our adults. Mr. Chair, I, you know, respectfully submit to this committee that allowing medical marijuana is the next step to legalizing marijuana, and I think that's what's behind the project, this marijuana policy project. I think there's no question. And are we as lawmakers thinking that that's okay?
Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair, first of all, to Representative Liebling's comments, I think it is perfectly germane to discuss, and I know you find it uncomfortable, as others may around the table, but I think it's absolutely correct for us when we're making such an important state policy to ascertain the motivation behind it. And again, that may be uncomfortable, you may not appreciate the line of questioning, but please don't question the germaneness. Number one, I have a question, and that is in the bill, since we're talking about the bill, is there anything that would restrict what a doctor can prescribe this for? Could a doctor prescribe this for a headache? Could a doctor prescribe it for back pain? Or we've been told that this is mainly for people at the end of their lives. They have no more concern about damage from smoking, from a cancer perspective or anything else. Are there restrictions in this bill that would limit what this is being prescribed for?
Well, Representative Gottwald, they will have to answer to the medical board. There are generally no laws that restrict what a physician can prescribe. However, if the prescriptions are inappropriate, they can be called before the Board of Medical Practice and lose their license. And one of the main reasons that physicians get called before that board is for the inappropriate prescribing of this class of drugs.
Mr. Chair, to that point, I think there's also a pretty restrictive definition in the legislation of debilitating medical condition. I would refer you to page 2 of the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gottwald.
Again, my concern, and I'm not sure it's assuaged by that definition, which I have seen, is that this could be prescribed for things beyond what we're intending. Again, this leaves, if you will, a lot of rope to hang yourself with if you're a doctor. And that is a legitimate concern. I wasn't fed that by anybody. That's a concern I have from having read the bill.
And Mr. Chair, I mean, to that point, just like every other medicine, where a doctor has to use his discretion and could prescribe a drug any further than it's recommended by the labeling. And so I think to try to go down that path, I think you can't separate medical marijuana out from those other issues.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gallo.
Actually, you can separate it out because medical marijuana is not approved by the FDA as are
the other medications
that are being used. Well, I mean, it goes to quality, goes to potency, mm-hmm. goes to efficacy, mm-hmm. goes to regulation, goes to policing. And those are all issues. Okay, enough of that question. The other question that I had is whether or not this can be restricted. Could medical marijuana under this bill be used in the presence of children, possessed in the presence of children, or vulnerable adults? Yes or no? And this, too, is not fed to me. This is something that I'm concerned about.
message and using the presence of children.
And Mr. Lehman, could you enlighten us on this?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Gottwald, the bill contains no restriction. In other words, the bill provides that, as in other medications recommended or prescribed by a physician, morphine, OxyContin, Vicodin, Percocet, other narcotics that would otherwise be illegal, there are no restrictions on how those can be used. There are actually much more restrictions in this bill on where and how medical marijuana could be used. In terms, if you look at Section 5, beginning on page 7, there's a host of restrictions that do not apply to other medications that physicians may recommend.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair or Mr. Lehman, there is a big difference, again, between smoking marijuana and consuming FDA-approved drugs that are prescribed by a doctor. As Representative Huntley well knows with his smoking ban bill, which I support, by the way, smoking marijuana can affect other people in a room. And I have a legitimate concern about the possession of marijuana, a highly controlled substance, and smoking of marijuana in the presence of children or vulnerable adults. The potential for them to access it, the potential for them to abuse it as a result. And we've got lots of paper here this morning and previously that speaks to the danger of that. I want to know if there's anything in this bill that can give me some comfort with that.
The bill does say it cannot be used in a public place. You can use it in your home, basically.
Mr. Chairman, if I could just give one example. We heard testimony in the Health Policy Committee and the Criminal Justice and Civil Law, whatever it is, Representative Mueller's Committee, from a patient who has used marijuana. He has two teenage children. Neither of them knew he had ever used it. The only way they learned was when the media reported his testimony as a patient who had benefited from this, and the officials at the children's school pulled the children in and began questioning them about whether their father was a drug addict and was abusing drugs, and did they know that he could go to prison. This was very traumatic for the children because in the one case who was mentally handicapped, he had no knowledge that the father had used it. I think most parents would use this in an appropriate manner. I don't think that parents who would not otherwise use this drug would seek to use it inappropriately in front of children or in front of others that might be impressionable.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Gottwald.
And that's the kind of assumption I've heard in arguing other bills here in this legislative session, is using the exception to justify the rule. That may be great for that person and his kids. But our concern when we're crafting state law is to make laws that protect us in as many instances as possible from those kinds of dangers. And there are people here today and people who I've talked with over the last couple of weeks who are legitimately concerned about what happens with this stuff.
Mr. Chair.
Well,
legitimate concern.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a few points. I do want to point out we don't have germaneness in committees, but within our House rules we do have points of order when it comes to questioning motives. I also want to talk about this issue. I'm struggling with this issue, so everybody knows. I was a no vote on this issue, and I don't know where I stand today. And in all honesty, it's because of the way that the bills have changed and the way that the authors have tried to take into some of the serious considerations that I think was in the original bill. And I just want to point out some of the changes that have been made. There's no authorization for patients to grow marijuana. There's no authorization for caregivers to grow marijuana. Intractable pain has been put in place of chronic pain. Also does not allow patients to manufacture marijuana. Practitioners are not authorized to do marijuana except for only those that can do morphine and Schedule I narcotics. There's no reciprocity within this bill. Nursing facilities now can create rules when it comes to the use of medical marijuana. There's no comparable provisions when it comes to state and local law enforcement to cooperate with federal law enforcement officials. That is different. Provides that a person who knowingly submits false information is guilty of a felony. All these, and I could keep going, and all these changes have muck the water for me. And I'm sitting here today with a difficult decision. I do think that the author does take into consideration some of these concerns. Representative Gottwald, I think you have a legitimate concern when it comes to the smoking in the presence of children and minors, that if this moves forward, I hope gets addressed. And that's the part of the legislative process that works for us, when the authors and when opposing sides can work together to try to make something better. If we didn't make changes to this bill, I know where I'd be today. And it would have made my decision a lot easier. Today, I don't know where I'm at, but, you know, because of that, I don't want, personally, my motives to be questioned, because I'm having a deliberative process of trying to figure out what's best on this issue, and I still think I have more to learn. But I do want to point out that the cooperative nature that many people have taken to try to address some of the legitimate concerns. And I hope that continues if this bill does leave committee. And on the House floor, if it comes to there, I don't know where I'm going to vote on that too. I'll have to see what the final product is. But I think it's important to point that out, that there has been genuine attempts to take into consideration the concerns of people. And I think we should just look at the policy merits of this and try not to question if this is, you know, one step to a larger process. So I just want to let the committee know where I stand.
Representative Bunn.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to make a few points. First of all, in response to Representative Dean's comments about phone calls, yes, there have been some robocalls, but in my case, at least, the majority of calls I've received on this issue are from seniors in my district. In fact, every call I think I received was from a senior, someone whom I know lives in Boutwell Flannies in my district. I was surprised the number of seniors that called, so I don't think those particular people, at least, are people advocating for this to be a slippery slope to legalization of drugs. They're seniors who actually, through their life experience of that or those of family members and friends, have come to a conclusion that actually may be useful to them. Having said this, though, I also voted no on this bill when it came before us before, and particularly, well, for a number of reasons, but particularly for the growing marijuana in one's residence still. Over the last many weeks, having seen some of the changes, I did further delving into this, spoke to my local law enforcement, spoke to some chemical dependency people in the area, spoke to some hospice workers, and also read more of the materials that we've been presented with on both sides. While I acknowledge that there may be some compassionate benefit for the use of medical marijuana, having weighed all that and gotten the input that I have, I am still a no on this legislation. I do not feel that the benefits, the potential compassionate medical benefits of this outweigh a number of risks involved with this, both legal and social, and so I will continue to be a no on this legislation.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to offer an oral amendment on line 8.4, page 8. I'd like to add to the list of places where marijuana could not be smoked under the bill. And I'd like to add, I guess on line 8.4, we'd need to take out the or. Oh, I'm sorry. No, wait a minute. I guess we can leave that there and just add another line and add a 5 under there. I guess it's like a sub 5 Roman numeral. And I'd like to add where the smoke may be inhaled by a minor child. Period. So to the restrictions, I would restrict anyone from smoking it where the smoke may be inhaled by a minor child. So that would mean that if a patient had a minor child visiting, that they wouldn't be able to smoke while the child was present.
Okay, Representative Liebling has moved after line 8.4, insert the 5, and then add where the smoke may be inhaled by a minor child. Representative Haas, you have a suggestion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Liebling, I think this is a good amendment. Just, you know, for my untrained ears. I was thinking maybe in the presence of a minor child might be better. I mean, because there may be some arguments on what constitutes where the smoke can be inhaled. Is that in the same room, in the same house?
Well,
Representative Liebling, you're the lawyer here.
Well, Representative Fosh, I guess what I was thinking is that the issue for me isn't so much the, I guess some people have this issue about the bad influence or something like that, and that's not my issue. Frankly, I think that watching somebody take a drug when they're in pain and, you know, need it for their pain, to me that's not a bad influence on any minor child. People do that with other drugs. And children see that it's being used, what it's being used for, and if it's being used appropriately, I don't think that's a bad influence. So my problem isn't presence. My problem is that we don't want children to be inhaling it, because as somebody did point out, I think quite reasonably, when you're smoking it, it means that people who are there are inhaling it too. So although I know that there might be some issues about it, I think it makes the intent more clear to have this wording. And you know, in any legislation, there are always going to be things that might, you know, might conceivably have to be hashed out by a court at some point, but I really don't foresee that there are going to be court cases about whether a child could inhale it here or whether they were 10 feet away they were inhaling it. I think what this does is give notice to people who might be using it that they should not be using it where it can be inhaled by a minor child, and I think people need to use their judgment about that just like they do about so many other things.
I think Representative Gottwald's got a point on the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually, I appreciate Representative Hosh's clarification. I do think in the presence of it would be better. And I'd also mentioned vulnerable adults, and I think they need to be included. And I'm wondering if Representative Liebling would consider adding them.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Gottwald. I think the problem with that is that somebody who's using this probably is a vulnerable adult. And so I don't really see that as something that should be added here.
Representative Murphy, I guess. Okay, Representative Dean.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for Mr. Lehman, I apologize if I was badgering you, but you're a professional lobbyist and a very good one and somebody who's passionate about this from the medical aspect. But I just wanted to find out who was badgering my constituents, one of which was 86 years old and called me, and she said, somebody called and they asked to talk to you about pot. I said, well, what? So we went on to talk about the weather or something else, but I thought that was a little over the line, and I don't know how they're targeting, but I'm not questioning anybody's motives, and particularly the motives of the Marijuana Policy Project, because I don't have to question them. They say what they are, and it's not medical. It is a policy change that is non-medical, and I just want that to go on the record. But I appreciate the folks who are looking at this from a medical aspect and appreciate the work that they're doing. But I think that the average person at home is really shaking their heads, wondering why we're spending time on this.
Any other comments on the amendment? Representative Erickson, we're going to be voting here.
Thank you,
shortly.
Mr. Chair. Representative Liebling, so you want the smoking to be done but not inhaled in a place where it's inhaled. What happens when the patient becomes high on this and becomes violent and harms his or her family or other members within the household? What happens then?
Representative Liebling.
Well, Representative Erickson, I think you've got some assumptions there in your question that I don't accept. I don't accept the premise of your question, so I don't know how to answer it. I think if anybody's violent, the same kind of rules apply to them as apply to anybody else. I mean, there are laws against being violent and hurting people, and those are not suspended by this legislation.
Representative Broad.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with the intent of what you're trying to do, Representative Liebling. I'm concerned about the unanticipated outcome of it. If this bill is to pass, and somebody is doing this in their home, I'm concerned that we're turning them into criminals accidentally, and I'm not sure what the outcome of that would be, and I would have some concern over that. Again, I agree that we don't want it, if this is to pass, and I won't be voting with it, but if it's to pass, it seems to me counterproductive to that family to do this. And so I'm trying to figure out how to balance the intent with the language, which I think is putting us in a wrong direction. I'm not a lawyer either, though.
Members, I think we've discussed this amendment long enough, and the amendment is on after line 8-4, insert in parentheses a V, and then after that, where the smoke may be inhaled by a minor child, and then we'd have to renumber the rest of the lines. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The amendment passes. Any further discussion on the bill? Representative Gottwald.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to again state my opposition, and not because I don't understand the intent. Trying to help people who are suffering at the end of their lives is important. My father died in a hospice 12 years ago. I watched him go through unspeakable pain with cancer. So this is very personal for me. But the concerns that have been raised across the community, and particularly the disregard for the Federal Drug Administration, we're trying in this bill to create what the FDA is supposed to be doing in our nation. And I realize other states have done this, and some of them with not very good consequences, which is a concern. But again, from the FDA statement, efforts that seek to bypass the FDA drug approval process would not serve the interests of public health because they might expose patients to unsafe and ineffective drug products. That's a concern that I don't think is addressed in this bill, and I'm not sure how you would address it, frankly. And FDA has not approved smoked marijuana for any condition or disease indication. If we really want to do this, let's push our Federal Drug Administration to take marijuana, check it for efficacy, check what sort of controls should be on a program that provides this, and let them approve it. We do this for every other kind of medication we offer, whether it's for dying people or for people who are trying to keep healthy. So I appreciate the intent, but this bill does not provide sufficient safeguards and circumvents the FDA process under which these sorts of things are supposed to occur. And so I speak against the bill.
We're going to be voting shortly.
Thank you, Chair Huntley, and I'd ask for a roll call on the bill, please. But this is such a slap in the face of law enforcement. We expect so much of them. We have rising crime in Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're ignoring the pleading from the BCA that we not go in this direction. I just don't know how we as lawmakers can say it's not important to have law enforcement's opinions and facts honored in this process, because we have, as I said earlier, the protection of us from a public safety perspective in both our constitutions. It is major, and we don't have a protection of folks dying from cancer. There are all sorts of ways to relieve pain, and I could give you a whole bunch of them from the experience I had in my family, but medical marijuana is not one of those. And I'm just saddened to think that this legislature is going to go in the direction that is going to insult law enforcement and make their job even that much worse.
Clerk will call the roll.
Favor is absent. Let's see. Anderson?
No.
Brad?
No.
Ben?
No.
Dean?
Nope.
Jackson?
No.
Fritz is absent. Gottwald?
No.
Hosh?
Pass.
Newburn?
Yes.
Loffler?
Yes.
Murphy?
Yes.
Matrimba is absent. Pepin is absent. Senator Peterson is absent. Maria Root is absent. Slock is absent. Tall?
Yes.
Houston?
Yes.
Rocker?
Yes.
Huntley?
Yes.
Yeah. The bill passes 7-6 vote. I have an announcement to make. There will be a meeting of our committee on Monday at 10 a.m. in room 10. There will be a number of very minor bills to pass. Meeting adjourned.